The first thing that comes to mind is, you know, what should I try to upsell? What I would start with is, what are your most popular products? What do you sell the most of? And so, you know, every business has a variety of things, but what is the single most popular thing that you sell?
Welcome to Small Business BS, the podcast designed to ignite your entrepreneurial spirit through thought-provoking ideas and actionable business strategies. Each week, entrepreneurs Adam Whitmer and Jeff Gargis dive into creative marketing hacks, proven sales methods, and clever growth strategies. Get ready to unlock the full potential of your business with insights that are both fun and impactful. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Gargis and Adam Whitmer.
Welcome to episode 36 of the Small Business BS podcast. I'm Adam Whitmer, and here with my co-host, Jeff Gargis. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about upselling. Now, we're starting a series here on three different types of selling. We're going to talk today about upselling. Next week, we'll talk about cross-selling, and then we'll conclude our mini-series here with something called downselling. And so these are three different terms that are scary sometimes on the surface, but really simple in practice if we break it down to the most simple of terms. Now, before we dive into the difference of upselling, cross-selling, downselling, and dive really today, the focus is upselling. Jeff, I just wanted to ask you, and I'm wondering if you could just frame for us the importance of selling, especially when we're talking about in the context of upselling, cross-selling, and downselling, and why a small business owner should not be scared of this, and just why it's so important for a small business.
Just selling in general is what you're asking, right? Just the general part of like, hey, why it's important to sell. I think it's pretty clear, but I'll say it anyway. Like, obviously, you need money to continue operating your business, and I think that's obvious. But more importantly, when we've touched on this in a few other episodes, like, it's tough. It's tough for a lot of people to get into that sales mode and actually sell and actually ask for the sale and try to close a sale and stuff. And so I think the more and more and more we can repeatedly remind you that it's okay to sell what you're selling and what you're offering, and it's important for you to do that, and you don't have to feel slimy or sleazy, because if you believe in what you're selling, you believe in the product or the service that you have out there, you need to sell it. And there's a good chance, and it should be, that the people that are buying from you need what you are selling. And so I always sort of frame it as a, if you believe in what you're doing and what you are selling provides value, and I don't care what that value is, it can be life-changing value or it could just be escapism value, whatever, and everything in between. If you believe that, then if you are not doing everything you can to sell that, then you're doing a disservice to the people that you're trying to serve. And so I think we talk about upselling, cross-selling, downselling, like these are just strategies and techniques to help you sell more so that you can, one, hopefully better serve the people that you're trying to serve. And also, two, make some more money for your business so you can keep doing the work that you do. And I think that's crucial, obviously. So,
no, that's exactly right. And that's perfect, Jeff. And I know we didn't talk about this before we began, but that's exactly what I was thinking is, you know, the mindset of selling sometimes is really hard to get behind. I've talked to many entrepreneurs and small business owners that just hate the idea of having to sell. They love their trade. They love doing what they do in their business, but they hate selling. And that's why I love upselling, cross-selling, and downselling so much, because it doesn't have to be a quote-unquote sales piece. It can just be a procedure that you implement as a strategy as part of the checkout process. And so it can just become this very simple thing of telling your staff, do this every time, and then you're always upselling, you're always cross-selling, and you're always downselling, and you're, in essence, increasing your sales posture of your organization without being quote-unquote salesy. And so that's why I love these three concepts, especially when we talk about sales as a whole. And so my mindset is just so important.
And I think what's kind of going to think about these three, if you think about cross-selling and upselling, you've already made the sale, right? And then we'll get into what they actually are, but you're just adding or changing it. Downselling is even better because it's when you don't make the initial sale and you have that, right? So I think I love how you said it's just to put them in procedure. And I think that's like when you think about cross, when I was thinking cross sell and upsell specifically, I'm like, yeah, that's an easy. That's just like the checkout procedure. That's all that right. is. And downselling is just the second opportunity or third opportunity procedure. Like that's all it is. None of this has to be high pressure. None of this has to be sleazy. None of this, you know, none of that stuff. Like you can do all of this and you can be a really good salesperson while still remaining truthful and friendly and soft, you know, low pressure, whatever. Now you can also go the other route too, if that's your style, that's fine, but you don't have to. And I think that's a common misconception in sales, is that they think they have to be like the sales gurus, quote unquote, that they see. And you don't. You got to find your own way to be the right salesperson for your product or service.
That's great advice and just well said, Jeff. So let's talk briefly about the difference of the three. I have a small framework just to summarize these basically. So upselling, cross-selling, and downselling. Upselling is go bigger. Cross-selling is go wider. And downselling is go smaller. And like Jeff said, the first two, you've already made the sale. So on upselling, you go bigger. On cross-selling, you go wider. And on the third one, downselling, you haven't made the sale. So what you try to do is go smaller in order to make the sale. And so the next two episodes will focus on cross-selling and downselling. But for this one, let's talk about upselling. Jeff, do you just want to give us just a simple overview? Just talk about upselling, maybe an example, and then I'll come back with some examples. You know, how could, or what is upselling at the core? What is a simple framework to understand upselling and what it looks like? Of course, every business is different, so it's going to look different in a you know, Fortune 500 company versus a mom and pop shop versus you know, a plumber versus a product that you're selling in a retail store like clothing. So what is a simple all-encompassing overview of upselling for us?
I think the easiest way, if I can think through it, is that upselling is like sort of a, like it's all encompassing, though a lot of different ways it can look, but it's pretty much almost any case where like where you're proposing or sharing or pushing, depending on how you want to say it, a product in addition to the one that's already said been purchased or being said yes to. And that can look a lot of different ways, right? The product itself could almost be the same product. Think of when you're at McDonald's and you order a medium Coke and they ask if you want to go up to a large. It's still a Coke, right? But they are upselling you to a large. Now, to your point, depending on the industry, that could look also completely different, right? It could be from a base level bicycle that you're buying and they're going to upsell you to a higher level, or they're going to upsell you to some, you know, to the upgraded model of the car you're buying, right? Those are all upselling pieces where you have the initial sale, the agreement to purchase the whatever that initial product or service is, and then you're going to upsell them to an additional product or superior, potentially, if that's the word we want to use. I think the best example, honestly, I already said, is like the McDonald's. I could say, would you like to, you know, make that a large? That literally probably 10, 15 years ago, like the standard in the restaurant industry, that was called upsizing, which is literally upselling. So,
No, that's great. And, you know, one example for me that comes to mind, you know, it's, I try to think of this at all different angles, but, you know, years ago I was traveling a lot, in a consulting job that I worked at. And when you travel, Jeff, I don't know about you, but I always have my stops that I know I will stop at the same place every time because I know where the restroom is. I know that I can fill up my gas quickly and get food and get in and out and get back on the road. And so I'm a creature of habit when I'm traveling. I stop the same places. And I had this stop that I would stop at on I-65 heading between Indianapolis and Chicago, Illinois. And at this rest stop, it was, I can't remember if it was a Pilot or Loves or one of those big gas stations, truck stops, but it was a truck stop and inside it, they had a Subway. And I eat Subway on a regular basis when I travel. It's just easy to go to. And in fact, at the time I was eating a vegetarian diet. So I was eating a gluten-free diet as well. So I was getting salads at Subway. But what was interesting to me is I would hit Subways all throughout the Midwest where I was traveling. And this Subway in particular was the only Subway I ran across where every single time you went there and for every single customer in front of you and behind you, and there was always a line, they would ask the question every single time, Do you want double meat and double cheese? And to me, it was humorous because they said it so frequently when I'm ordering a vegetarian salad, eating a vegan diet, they would ask me if I wanted double meat and double cheese. And so I would laugh because as a vegan, you don't eat meat or cheese. And so they would always be
it was just so built in and ingrained into their process. Head. That's the procedure. Yeah,
exactly. And then they would kind of have the look of horror of like, I'm sorry, I offered that, but they were so good at doing that. And I would observe that the people in front of me getting their sandwiches, it was almost 2 out of 3 times would say, yeah, sure. Or yeah, let's take the double meat and double cheese. And I was amazed at how many of these truckers going through the truck stop, and I knew they were truckers because they had their headsets on, but they would agree to it just because they asked. And I've been in other Subways so many times, rarely do people ask for double meat and double cheese. Now, when you get double meat and double cheese on a sandwich, that increases the sale by a lot. It's not cheap to upgrade to double meat or double cheese. It's a big upgrade. And they just had built into their process that their staff asked for that every single time when they started to put the meat and the cheese on the sandwich. And so the way I see upselling is I love that example because it can be so simple as you train your staff and hold them accountable to just ask a simple question like, would you like double meat and double cheese on your sandwich? It's a simple yes or no, but it gives the customer an opportunity to say yes or no. And it really forces a decision for them to whether or not they want to upgrade. And you're not pressuring them at all. You're just asking the question. And so I love that example. Because it just shows how simple an upsell can be if you work it into your procedures and your processes without trying to be salesy or sleazy.
It's so easy, in fact, Adam, that you don't even have to do it. It can be built into the program. For example, I'm thinking of the car wash that I'll use every now and then. One of the ones that you pay and then you pull through and it's all automated and you stay in your car and stuff. And it's a little touchscreen thing or with buttons or whatever, and you have like 5 options. Well, that's literally it's upselling me the whole time. The board in front that tells me that I have to pay the next size up for the air dry. That's upselling because in theory, when I pulled in there and decided I was pulling in there and I'm in line, I've made the decision at the very least to buy the bottom level. Now, to be fair, I may have already decided what I'm going to buy because I knew I was going to get the top, whatever. But like at the very bottom, there's 4 upsells already built into that. So simple that no one even has to say anything. There's just a few extra bullet points under those. And I'm being upsold right there. And that's like another very simple thing. Like it doesn't have to be. And I'm thinking, if you think about that, that translates into the digital world, right? It's a quick upsell where it's like, well, do you want to do this too? Do you want to, so super easy, I think, upsell on that. You see it in like bonuses and things like that added as you're in the checkout process through a digital product or a course or like, things of that nature. You could even see it in the case of, like I bought a $20 product or whatever, a course, let's say, and I get that during the checkout, I can click that little checkbox that gets me the special bonus upgrade package that's normally $999 or $1,000 and I can get it today for $7 or some craziness. That's all upselling there. It's just taking me to a higher level of that VIP experience.
Exactly.
There's a little bit of cross-sell in there, but I was thinking in my mind of like a higher level of the membership or whatever, so.
Yeah. And you say a VIP experience, for example, a hotel. I don't know how many times you've checked into hotels, but I've checked into hotels many times. And I'm always surprised because when you check in, the hotels have a huge opportunity to do an upsell at the desk at the time of check-in. And it could be just as simple as, I see you have a queen bed. Would you like a king? And just for $10 more, $5 more, whatever the cost is, or maybe at the hotel and could easily say, we've got you on the side of the hotel that faces the highway for $5 more. Would you like to be put on the other side? Or would you like the ocean view instead of the parking lot view? And so I think that all industries have a lot of opportunities where they miss upselling, and it can just be a very simple, just would you like a better version of what you're already planning to buy?
Let me ask you, Adam, and I'm not sure where you were, if we're already to where you were planning for this episode to go or if I'm going to disrupt it, but how can, if someone's listening right now and they're going, oh, like, why have I not done this? Why have I not implemented upselling into my business? How do I, regardless of industry, regardless of product or service, how do I figure out what I should be upselling and or No, I'll just stop there because I had to implement it's going to change based on a lot of other factors. But I think the general, like, how do I think through, like, what are some questions I can be asked myself in order to think through, like, what should I try to add on as an upsell opportunity here?
That's excellent. I love that because practical application is so important. So the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, what should I try to upsell? What I would start with is, what are your most popular products? What do you sell the most of? And so, you know, every business has a variety of things, but what is the single most popular thing that you sell? And that could be a whole category. Like if you're a convenience store, it could be drinks. Or if you are a service company, like a carpet cleaner, it could just be a carpet cleaning package. And so what is that one thing that you sell the most of, whether it's an individual sale or a category of sales? And then start to think about, what are the opportunities to offer that product or service in a higher and lower version? And you probably don't, if you're already selling a $500 package for carpet cleaning, you probably don't want to suddenly offer a $300 that you've never offered before. That's not the idea. But what you're trying to do is
get into figure that out with, how to offer downselling later.
The downselling, which is exactly what you would be doing. But with your $500 package of carpet cleaning, for example, figure out a way to just add in something simple. And you could have maybe a couple of different versions that you could try out. You could try one that's maybe 10% of the sale. So if it's $500, how do you add an extra $50 on top of that? So for carpet cleaning, we come into your house for this $500 package. We can also quickly, for $50 more, mop down a bathroom for you and just do a quick mop. Or I'm not in carpet cleaning, so
I was thinking,
sure.
Like, what, yeah. And I don't know if this, maybe this already exists, but maybe it's, yeah, for $50 you get a scented soap to like freshen your house, where usually a lot of the times they try to use
it,
like,
yeah,
just a neutral smell because it's non-aroma, not, you know, whatever, but maybe you want it, maybe you want like a nice, I don't know if I would want that or not, but like, and again, we're not in this business, but which is sometimes the fun thing to think about. There's a carpet cleaner right now going, you morons,
right?
Like, But yeah, but like, I think that's you could totally add that on for 5 to 10% of the price, maybe 25 to $50, right? Like,
or what about cleaning? Maybe cleaning all of the doormats, you know, offering that is,
right?
Is a,
yeah,
service.
That's a probably more realistic one.
Car floor mats, in your car, we could wash your car floor mats because it's all the same thing, and you're already out there, you've already got the equipment. But what is it you could offer as a quick upsell? And so I would start with maybe something like 10%. That's not a huge upgrade. There has to, of course, be value in what you're offering. But that's probably the easiest place to start, is what is your most popular product and how do you do a 10% upgrade that would offer value to them, but give you a larger dollar sale. Even if it is a little bit of work, you're already there. You're already doing it. Your margins don't need to be as good necessarily on that upsell as they are for the initial package, but it increases your overall dollar amount so that your profit per job increases. And so that's the idea behind getting started. So does that answer your question on where to
start?
It does.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, so if we flip that into like a digital space, whatever, it's, you know, let's say something, maybe it's, let's say it's a course. Adam does courses. We have courses. It's a course. And the upsell is the, maybe it's called the whatever, it's the VIP course experience, where you get the course, but you also get a 30-minute one-on-one with Adam, right? That's an upsell that could probably be quite a bit more than 10%. That could be a big one because now I'm getting access, right? It could also be a smaller level where I'm getting a course, but I get Adam's exclusive, a special workbook or additional guide, or maybe it unlocks like 3 or 4 other videos that aren't included, and that's like the ultimate level or the, you know, the premium package or whatever, where you can add that on. Like in the digital space, it's easier to add it on with almost no cost to yourself, unless you do something like the one-on-one or whatever. In businesses that we're out, like, you know, whether it's carpet cleaning, you know, lawn care, a coffee shop, whatever, those you have to weigh your additional expenses as well. But I mean, I'm thinking about my carpet thing. If I just add in a fruit smelling scent instead, that's probably not much more. I'm sure it costs slightly more, right? So I think that's – I think you hit the first piece. Well, yeah, where can you add that? Just like 10%. I think the second piece of that I would add is just to make sure that you're thinking through the cost that might come along with whatever it is that you're upselling. But if you – there's a good chance you probably already have the package or the idea or the product there that makes it a really upsell, really good upsell. But if you don't – yes, I think the steps you walk through, Adam, is just simple and the way to go. What's the thing that sells the best, and how can you just make it a little bit better for them and worth a nice bump in price?
Right. And I think the key there, Jeff, is exactly what you were saying, is that it has to be of value for the customer. But the real key is most of anybody listening to this has probably already thought of this or tried it before, but the key is asking for it every time and building into that process to just ask for that upsell. And so whether it's a carpet cleaner that does it at the time of sale or the service guys who do it once they are out and on site, but working that into the process to offer that upsell. Now, you don't want to offer it 15 times to the customer. They're going to definitely feel like you're trying to sell them. But just saying, hey, I'm here, I noticed you have floor mats, or hey, I'm here, your car probably has some floor mats that need cleaned. I can clean those for an additional $50. I don't know about you, but I have kids, and that's a great
idea. Probably saying yes to that.
I'm probably saying yes.
Right. Too. I'm already writing a decent sized check or swiping it, you know, whatever, like at 500. Like, yeah, why not? Because they're a mess right now. Exactly. And here's the thing that I want to touch on this. Like the best part about this is if they say no, it doesn't matter. You already sold them. Like, it's already a success. They're already a customer. So you don't need to come hard on it. You don't need to be upset if it doesn't happen. Like, they should feel that if they say no, nothing changes. Everything's still cool. Like that you, right. And that's, I think that's a big piece too. Cause a lot of times I think I'm getting into a hole. We don't need to go down this rabbit hole, but like, I think a mistake to avoid is going, okay, I have this upsell, and now being so hooked on trying to close the upsell, focus on what you're supposed to be selling, which is your product or your service. The upsell is a bonus. And if you always think of it as a bonus, you're going to sell it in a way that is a little more approachable, softer. I'm not saying not effective. I'm saying softer. It's not going to feel as salesy. They're not going to feel pressure, which, by the way, will probably make it more effective in today's world. So I think that's an important mistake to avoid is I don't know, Adam, maybe I'm going into personal anecdotes here, but like when someone tries to upsell me and then I can tell that they are like upset that I didn't bite, I'm like, I'm already paying you. Why are we now in a bad space? Like, right. And I'm probably not calling you back.
Right.
Right. Versus the upsell, and I'm like, oh no, not today, and literally you just move on. Then I'm like, oh, okay, cool, like, you know, and I probably have nothing. I don't think about it ever again, but I'm more likely then to call you back because I don't have a bad experience. So I think that's a mistake to avoid. I know we weren't going into mistakes, but anyway,
that's a great point. And you know, and when in the conversation of upselling too, I think it's probably important to just briefly mention a couple of things because there are some strategies for upselling that do help. And again, depending on the industry, is, you know, I heard somebody say a long time ago that by having two upsells, it oftentimes results in more sales of that middle tier. And so if you're just offering a $500 level, but you've also got a $550 level or a $600 level and an $800 level, oftentimes people will upgrade to that middle level. I don't know about you, but at the car wash, Jeff, you gave a car wash example. I rarely go for the bottom one, but I also rarely go for the top. So I'm always pushing the button for the middle one because the bottom one doesn't include the drying in my town. But the top one has a whole bunch of stuff that I probably don't even want on my car in the first place. And so I end up going with that middle one because there are three options. A lot of times that helps customers to weigh the cost and see the value of that middle tier and drive people into that middle tier. So I don't know that I would offer that at the point of sale to say, do you want the low, middle, or high? Maybe just a simple upsell of, do you want extra meat with that, is a whole lot easier than, do you want three triple meat, double meat or triple meat? But the idea is offering multiple things, especially in your marketing materials and your sales pages on your website, showing that you have different levels. And another thing I've heard too, Jeff, and I'm sure you'll have feedback on all this too, is if the middle tier is truly the most popular, then to put on, you know, explain to people, this is our most popular package. And oftentimes that also is an effective tool, if in fact it is the most popular, to show people that this is what other people are buying, and because people are creatures of habit and love to do what other people do. And so those are some other upselling strategies I've heard and read over the years.
And just in general, it's a great upsell. And I'm glad you went there, because like one highlight, and this is our most popular, and what I've read quite a bit in the data typically shows and pans out, that if you have three options, your middle one is going to get selected the most because of what you just said. Is the high one is too high, but now I understand that the value, because I don't want to go there. I almost feel like I'm getting a discount in the middle. So in theory, it potentially was, if you had two different packages, $500 and $350, ideally you create a $750 package with the thought process of that's going to actually make it so that the people who are more likely to select the $500 than they are the $350. If that makes sense, because you're stretching it now, right? Now your value ladder or your pricing ladder stretches further. And now by going to the middle, I'm actually like, you're not getting me. You didn't get me, Adam. You didn't get me to go to the high one. I see what you're doing there. But what you actually did was get me to purchase the one in the middle, which is the best one for me, versus going to the what could be a downsell, right? So that's a really effective one. And it's crazy how much of a positive impact just doing that, like circling or labeling it most popular. Actually,
or best value. If it's not the
best value, yes.
Best value. If it truly is the best value,
fan favorite. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yep. Recommended. We see
recommended. Yep. Recommended is a great. Yep. Yeah. All right. I feel like we've started flirting with cross selling. So maybe we should wrap this one and then get into cross selling. Cause there's a lot of, if you didn't already hear it and add in my talking, there's a lot of
overlap,
similarity and overlap with the cross-selling piece. So maybe we wrap this one up and we jump into cross-selling.
That's great. And just a reminder again, upselling is go bigger, cross-selling go wider, downselling go smaller. And so those are the three simple ways to increase sales in your business by not being salesy, but just implementing procedures and strategies to increase the overall sales of your organization. So a great episode, Jeff. I love it. That's all we have for this episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. For more information on this episode and other episodes, go to our website at smallbusinessbs.com. Until next time, have fun, be strategic, and get out there and grow your business. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow entrepreneurs. Until next time, keep thinking big and taking action in your business, one step at a time.